present Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo, Rennie Houston and Barbara Blake in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is the man of the minute, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, we have four delightful and exciting personalities here to do battle with each other in this rather exciting game. Just to remind you of the rules, they have to speak on some unlikely subject, which I will give them for just a minute without hesitating, without pausing, and without deviating. Remember those points, no hesitation, no going from the subject and sticking to the point. So with those thoughts in mind, let us start this particular program with Rennie Houston. Rennie, would you like to talk for just a minute, please, on my first grown-up dress, starting now?
Oh, I'd love to talk about it. It's something I've always remembered, Nicholas. I had a... It wasn't quite a dress. It was a what they called a tote dress. And I was 9 years old. It was made like a three-cape thing, made like a highwayman's coat with a little velvet collar. And I wore that tote dress until it was absolutely halfway up my arm and my mother couldn't get it off my back. But I've repeated that coat dress so often throughout my life.
Clement Freud.
Repetition.
Yes, I think
you're right. Reputation?
No, he said repetition, and I think he was justified. Rennie, there are 34 seconds left, Clement Freud, for my first grown-up dress. Starting now.
A very unpleasant thing happened to me when I wore my first and only grown-up dress. I was walking down Piccadilly on the south side of the street when a policeman approached me and said, "Excuse me, is this your first grown-up dress?" And I said to the policeman, "Yes, as a matter of fact, it is." And Rennie Houston lent it to me. It's very tight at the arms. And Rennie Houston's mother tried very hard to take it off when I was 9 years old.
Rennie Houston, you've challenged. Why?
Yes. Repetition. He said two Rennie Houstons.
We can never
have... be enough for anybody.
No, we can never have too many Rennie Houstons. I don't think it's justified in this game. So, Clement Freud has another point, and he has 7 seconds left for my first grown-up dress, starting now.
I later wore this dress in Sockyhole Street in Glasgow. And in...
Rennie Houston.
The correct name is Sockyhole Street. He hasn't got it right at all.
And why... And what do you challenge, though?
Blubberidge.
What's that?
Blubberidge.
Blubberidge. It's not one of the rules...
Inarticulation.
That's not one of the rules of the game. All you've done, I'm afraid, is give Clement Freud another point. And 3 seconds to go, Clement Freud, with my first grown-up dress, starting now.
Maryhill Barracks in Glasgow.
I love that.
And as that twee little hooter went, as Clement Freud was still speaking, did note it, by the way, the 60 seconds up, and now it is Derek Nimmo, it's your turn. Ah, yes, what a delightful subject we've got for you here, Derek. Would you like to talk for 60 seconds on what to take on a picnic, starting now?
I think the most important thing to take on a picnic is female companionship. Then a large rug and a bottle of wine. There you have the nucleus of a good picnic. Together with that, I should take perhaps some tomatoes, a loaf of bread and cheese, and thou. And then I would find a tree and spread all my goodies underneath the tree to eat them and devour them at my will. I would open my... No, I'm so sorry.
I
think you're justified, and we won't ask you to explain.
I thought I was deviating, that's why I tried
to... You were deviating, you were hesitating, and I'm no doubt you were doing all other kinds of strange things. So certainly we're on that picnic anyway. There are 30 seconds left, Rennie Houston, for you to talk about what to take on a picnic, starting now.
Well, first of all, surely if he's going to take a beautiful girl on a picnic, he's not going to eat her. And when you mention a picnic...
Derek Nimmo, why are you...
not talking about things taking a picnic, you're talking about a point of order.
No, she was taking over the subject, and for some reason she took over your picnic instead of a picnic of her own. Why do you challenge?
Deviation. She's saying, surely if you wanted to take a girl on a picnic, you... That he doesn't...
I don't think it's justified. I don't think so. She's a guest, and so I'm going to... it's rather difficult, but I'm going to give it to you, Rennie. So will you carry on? What to take on a picnic, starting now?
Well, the finest thing to take on a picnic is lots and lots of food. But not too many
Lots and lots must be repetition.
I think it's a very moot point. I'm still with Rennie Houston with another point, and still the same subject, starting now.
Well, if you're going to have a really good picnic, take various kind of things with you, like sandwiches and hard-boiled eggs and tomatoes. And remember that you'll have to carry an awful lot of it back, especially if you take men with you. I mean, fellas like Derek Nimmo, who won't eat sandwiches or anything else, they just want to have a necking party.
The wonderful picture you conjured up there, Rennie, of carrying the men back as well. Anyway, as the Hooterwendiges were speaking, you gained a point, and, oh, let's have the score. It's Clement Freud is in the lead with 5 points, Rennie Houston follows him with 4, and Barbara Blake and Derek Nimmo have yet to score. Well, Barbara has a chance now with, oh, what a subject here, which I'm sure will cause a lot of amusement. Barbara, how to shrink a human head, starting now.
First, find your victim and have a quarrel with him, which you win. Then lop his head off just above the clavicle, I think that's what it's called, and comb the hair very carefully.
Rennie Houston.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid you're right.
He's making Rennie. A very clumsy job of taking that head off.
Yeah. Right, can you make a better one of it? How to shrink a human head, starting now.
Well, I would think the best way to shrink it would be to do what I did with a pair of shoes once, and boil them. You know, there's a very old saying, go and boil your head, and I'm sure that's what they meant when they said it, was that you should shrink your head because you were too big-headed.
I'm sure
and
you're
if you
right.
want to do that...
Barbara Blake, you challenge one.
Invitation.
I think so. She looked at me as much as to get agreement, and I agreed.
But I only just got the head on to boil when she stopped me.
I know, and I nodded. I was all for it. It's up in glass. I say, we haven't boiled your head, don't they? I haven't heard them say it there often. Right, Barbara Blake, you have the subject back. You have 34 seconds to talk about how to shrink a human head, starting now.
Then break the skull several times with a heavy blunt instrument and scoop out the skull and the entrails from the neck. Tie the neck up very... Fill the cavity with that.
Derek Nimmo.
Well, hesitation, I think that's revolting. He's just sitting next to me, the brains are pouring all over the
Well, you should look at Ian Messenger. He's thought of the subject. You know? Having made your point, Derek Nimmo, why do you challenge?
Hesitation, actually. You kept mumbling away.
No, we're going to see what else Barbara's got to say about this human head she's shrinking. Barbara, we're still with you. An extra point starting now.
Then you stir up the bottom of the head and suspend it over a smoky fire of green wood with the head hanging down. Not too near the fire or the head will burn.
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
Yes, definite hesitation. Fine, Derek Nimmo, what have you got to say on this subject? You have 3 seconds, so you needn't worry too much. But we'd like you to say something about how to shrink a human head starting now.
Pink roses covered with lovely forget-me-not.
The score. Oh, Clement Freud and Rennie Houston equal first, and closely followed, also equal, Barbara Blake and Derek Nimmo. Clement Freud, we'd like you to start this time. The subject is bankers, starting now.
Bankers are people who look after your money fairly carefully, keep it for a long time, and charge you for the privilege. This is a revolting exercise, and many bankers are rightfully very unpopular as a result. Perhaps the most unpopular...
Derek Nimmo.
Well, he's hesitating. I mean, he's always desperately slow, I know, but he's sort of hesitating. It's all so dreary, isn't it? It's so dreary. He just moans on and on and on, that terrible, long-winded voice. I do get so tired.
And you made a very good attempt to moan on and on and on then, too, Derek Nimmo. No, I don't think he hesitated enough, so Clement Freud is still bankers with you starting now.
Perhaps the most dreariest bankers are those who live in Switzerland and are known to some people as the gnomes, spelt gnomes, of Switzerland. These are bankers with pointed heads who keep flat money in account numbers rather than named accounts. You go into a Swiss bank and you say, 1-896-43-729-846-8315.
Rennie Houston, why do you
Deviation. He's gone into numerology.
No, that was the number. I think it's just... I don't know how many numbers they have with these banks. I'm sure it's accurate. But he's not devious. So, Clement Freud, we're still with you. Starting now.
Derek Nimmo had a friend who was a banker who didn't like Derek Nimmo very much, but this simply shows what good taste many bankers have.
Well, Well, with the assistance of the others challenging so often, Clement Freud, you have given yourself quite a strong lead of 9, followed by Rennie Houston with 5, and still in third place, Derek and Nemo and Barbara Blake. Rennie Houston, your chance to try and take the lead with a delightful subject, greenhouse plants, starting now.
Oh, yes. Well, now you are asking me about something that I do know something about. I love greenhouse plants. In fact, it all started when I was 8 years old. I used to go to the botanical gardens in Glasgow with my father, who used to take me there every chance he could get. And I pretended that I knew so much about plants, till in the end, I really did learn. Now, I have grown potted plants myself. They are of a very strange species. They are Hycum stertius and Crigendrums. Now, the latter have no perfume, but the tenai from them are really used for making stink bombs. They're beautiful, and you've got to give them plenty of room to pot them. And in fact, the bigger the pot, the better it is. They don't. The old-fashioned chambers that have gone out of date are very useful. And if you put them there, you have no trouble with them at all. All you have to do is water them once a year, but it must be on a Tuesday. Any other day is not suitable at all.
Hey, Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, it's absolute nonsense.
But you were still talking about greenhouse plants, whether it was nonsense or not.
Deviation.
I had this vivid picture of these greenhouse plants that are quite revolting, making sting bombs, sitting on a potty in her greenhouse. Now, Sir Rennie Houston, you've still got another point, and you've 2 seconds left about your greenhouse plants, starting now.
Well, what I was going to say was...
Well. So you are still in second place, but you're going down the 2 points, Rennie Houston. Derek Nemo, your turn to begin. Things I must warn my children about, starting now.
The thing that I first warned my children about was Clement Freud. I managed to do this, really, by teaching them simple nursery rhymes, like Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuppet, eating her curds and whey. There came a big Freud and sat down beside it and frightened Miss Muffet away. A little later on, I managed to continue my education of the children, warning them about Clement Freud by telling them about the teddy bear's picnic. I mean, don't go down in the woods today, because today's the day that Clement Freud has one of his dreadful picnics.
Rennie Houston.
Repetition.
Why?
He brought 2 Clement Freuds into it.
Oh, very clever. I know there's only 1
Clement
Freud. I was
just waiting for him to bring in Freud eggs, but he didn't.
I don't think within the rules of the game is quite justified. We're still with Derek Nimmo. Things I must warn my children about, starting now.
It's awfully difficult, really, to instill too carefully into a child the danger of Clement Freud. He is a particularly nasty, repulsive man with a long, scraggly beard who does very nasty things in kitchens. He has unpleasant habits which are not known to everybody, but which I know very few about.
Rennie Houston.
Deviation.
No, I would have had it for repetition. I don't think it's justified, Rennie. I'd like to give it to you, but we're still with Derek Nimmo, and there's only 6 seconds left, starting now.
When I get them to the side of a road, I tell them to look very carefully to the left, to the right, and then glance to the left. And if they see Clement Freud coming...
Well, Clement Freud, we're now with you, and I think I would like to give you a subject in view of what Derek Nimmo has just been saying and ask you to talk for just a minute now on the subject of Derek Nimmo, starting now. Barbara Blake, you chance.
Hesitation,
yes, he couldn't say.
It was absolutely deliberate silence.
Barbara Blake, would you like to take over the subject of Derek Nimmo, starting now?
Derek Nimmo is a very clever actor, comedian, who made his name...
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Clement Freud. I'm going to give you a point. After what Derek Nimmo said about you, I will give you a point. So will you carry
He's
on?
He's a limited typecast actor.
Your subject is still Derek Nimmo, starting now.
I once had a dog called Derek Nimmo. A scruffy, straggly little bull terrier who spent much of his day doing repulsive things about the house. This was a pity because the real Derek Nimmo, if you can call it the real, the person who appears on...
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Will you talk about Derek Nimmo starting now?
I do like to walk apart by the seaside. Tiddly bom bop. What?
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Yes, I agree.
Why?
You said I. I said it all about Derek Nimmo. You never realized
I do like to walk. I am Derek Nimmo. I'm walking beside the seaside. I'm talking about myself.
I'm going to be kind to Clement Freud now. You've been very horrid to him. Clement Freud, you have the subject back again. Derek Nimmo, starting now.
If you walk beside the seaside, do look out for Derek Nimmo. He spends much time walking along the beach with bare feet, which have ingrowing toenails. A very unpleasant sight also is the entire Nemo entourage of children being warned against things coming out of the sea, who are often seen walking behind Mr. Nemo on beaches in the south and the east coast of England.
Derek Nimmo.
He's talking about my family now. Not me.
But your family must be very closely connected with you. I don't think it's just...
They're having to walk behind, and they were near me at the moment.
Clement Freud, you have another point. You still have 8 seconds left for talk about Derek Nimmo starting now.
An interesting thing about Derek Nimmo is that his family is not very closely connected to him. They walk many yards behind him. He dances.
Clement Freud, with the subject of Derek Nimmo, you've given yourself a commanding lead of 12, followed by Derek Nimmo with 8, which he got most of his points talking about Clement Freud. And Renny Houston has got 7, and Barbara Blake has only got 4, but she has a chance now because she starts this time. And the subject, again, a rather hideous one he's thought of, Mr. has for you, Barbara. But I'm sure you can go to town on this as well like you did the other one. The subject is snakes as pets, starting now.
Everyone thinks that it's a silly idea to have a snake as a pet, but I think it's a very good idea, because it's an unusual pet, and what's the point of having a pet if it's not unusual? Snakes don't take up much room. They're quiet. They don't jump at you like cats and dogs do. They lie in a little corner, and you feed them with flies and other insects. You can all...
Renny Houston.
Deviation.
Why?
Oh. You don't feed them with flies and insects.
Well, she might.
Well, I do.
So I'm sorry. No, it's not. Barbara.
Well, if you do, you're not feeding correctly.
Barbara, you get an extra point and is still with you with 40 seconds left. Starting now.
When I was at home, I looked in vain for a snake to have as a pet, because the snakes we have at home are not poisonous. Therefore, it's very easy to have a snake, not as in England where the snakes are poisonous. However, I searched high and low for this snake which I wanted to have as a pet and couldn't find one. And many years later, I was told by my father that the reason why I couldn't find a snake for a pet was that snakes were virtually wiped out in Jamaica many years ago. So I have come to this country in the hopes that someday someone will give me a snake that I can have as a pet and feed flies and other insects.
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition. Second time she's been feeding with the flies.
Yes, that's very clever. I was interested. She wants to find some snakes. There's plenty of snakes in the grass in this country, Barbara. And some on this program as well. But anyway, we'll say no more. Derek Nimmo has a point, and he has 4 seconds left to talk about snakes as pets, starting now.
Favorite food for snakes are human brains. You get some green twigs, light a fire.
Renny Houston, it's your turn to start, and this time we're going to have one of those penalties that have been rather popular before. And this time, in talking, you mustn't use the word "and." And the subject is the people next door, and you start now.
Well, the people next door to me are marvelous. For the first time in a long time, I've got neighbors, and there's a young couple...
Clement Freud.
Never was an and, wasn't it?
It's a Scottish and, I quite agree, yes. Mm. All right. Clement, the people next door, and not the word and, starting now.
The people next door to me are a kindly couple of Scots lady and gentlemen who...
That was an and.
Was it?
Scott Lady and...
Oh, that's right. Yes. Very clever, Barbara. Well done. Well done. I was listening so carefully, I was having to spot other things. I thought it was hesitation as well, you see, but I missed the end. Well done. You've got an extra point, Barbara. You have 45 seconds left, starting now.
The people next door make a lot of noise. The people next door are Irish. They often go to the pub on the corner of the road. When they come back from the pub, they put their gramophone on, turn it up very loud. Then they proceed to make a lot of noise. However...
Derek Nimmer.
Repetition. They've been making a lot of noise before. Second
time. I was saying, how they make
Barbara Blake, don't argue with me. You've got another point. Carry on. People next door, no, Anne, starting now.
However, the people next door are very kind. They take in stray animals. They look after people who've lost their way. They often inquire about my health. They...
Clement Troy.
Hesitation.
Hesitation is right. The people next door, no, Anne, starting now.
I've got new people next door. An awfully nice couple from Scotland, consisting of a man, a woman, a child, three dogs, two cats, a snake, a parakeet.
Derek,
you talk about parakeets being next door. Something people next door. Not parakeets and snakes and all the other.
Oh, I see. Oh, what a debate. No, I think that's too devious a challenge.
And the whole zoo living next door.
Well, you obviously haven't been up to Clement Freud's house, so Clement Freud, will you continue talking about the zoo next door? I'm sorry, the people next door. Starting now.
They are called McGillicuddy.
Ooh.
A name which is...
Well, Clement Freud's well in the lead with 15 points. Derek Nimmo's still second with 10. And Barbara Blake has now jumped into third place with 8. And Rennie Houston trails a little with 7. But I'm sure she'll put that right before we finish. Barbara Blake, we'd like you to start this time. Oh, the penalty will be the word the. And the subject is ice cream sundaes, starting now.
Ice cream sundaes are very difficult to get in England. In Jamaica and in America, an ice cream sundae is a delight to behold. It usually involves three or more different varieties of ice cream, topped with whipped cream, hot fudge sundae, nuts, and a cherry. Ice cream sundaes in this country are very peculiar things. They are simply one blob of ice cream, a dollop of very dubious chocolate sauce, and a nut. That, to me, does not constitute an ice cream sundae, and can easily be eaten in 2 seconds, as opposed to the two...
Clement Freud.
The.
Yes, and hesitation, I'd have thought. Clement Freud, ice cream sundaes, no the, starting now.
Ice cream is a very good thing to have on sundaes. Many people think ice cream ought to be eaten on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'm against this, particularly because it seems such an excellent occasion. When Sunday comes round, people...
Well, Clement Freud is now with a commanding lead, and followed by Derek Nimmo and Barbara Blake, equal second, and René is still trailing a little, but you have a chance perhaps to pick it out this time, René. And here's a subject I'm sure close to your heart, René. We'll have no penalties this time. The subject is painting the kitchen. Talk for 60 seconds, starting now.
Now, what would make you think that? Because it's absolutely true. I painted my kitchen just before Christmas. It's a very tricky job, you know, because... kitchens should always be white or very pale pastel shades. But to really prepare a kitchen for painting, you must first of all wash down all the walls and the ceiling with very hot water, near to boiling as possible, and you must put vinegar in because that releases all the fat. When you've done that, you've got to go gently with your brush up the way as well as down, and 2 strokes to every little bit that you do.
Clement Freud, you challenge why?
It's rather boring. And it's do-it-yourself, isn't it?
It is, but it's still legitimate, so she has an extra point, and you carry on with painting the kitchen, starting now, Rennie.
Well, if you start at the beginning of the week, providing your kitchen isn't too large, you can always be sure of having it finished by the end of the following week.
Clement Freud.
It's been gallant.
Giving you another point.
Yes.
Very gallant, aren't you? All right, Rennie Houston, you have 16 seconds left, and they're all being very gallant, I'm sure, now. Painting the kitchen, starting now.
When you have finished painting it over for the first time, that's with a stroke up and a stroke down all over the place.
Barbara...
Leave the tissue.
Why?
She's already talked about the stroke up and the stroke down.
I know, but that's how you paint, up and down, and up and down.
That's
repetition
in itself.
I know it is, but it doesn't apply in these rules of this game. So Rennie Houston's still painting her kitchen, and she's getting a lot of lovely points for the last run, because this, I must warn you, is the last one. Rennie, With your last 7 seconds, try and get a few more points, starting now.
Well, when you finish doing the first coating, then you have to do another coating 3 days later. And you'll find that it absolutely comes up beautifully if you don't...
That final spurt on the last lap by Rennie Houston brought her up from the rear to put her an equal second with Barbara Blake and Derek Nimmo, who are all trailing behind our winner today, who is a clear lead, Clement Freud. Thank you for listening, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.